going, everybody? Welcome into NDB Media's Early Bird Fantasy Show with Couch and Andrea. It's Sunny Flood here on the Labor Day. Good holidays to you all. Hope you are going to have a safe holiday. Enjoy those barbecues. If you drink, please, please don't drive. You are not the only ones out there. So let everybody get home safely. It's Sonny Clark from the Couch Potato Sports Show. Andrea will be with us, maybe depending on the situation, if she's awake, if she's not. Been a little bit busy for the couch as of late. Been able to do parts of shows and business calls. And folks, last week was a very busy week for the couch. Of course, we started off on doing our show here. And then on Tuesday, we did a show for the regular show, the Couch Potato Sports Show. And then Thursday, we did a regular show. I actually marked that. Wednesday, we did a regular show. Then we had Thursday and Friday high school football here in Texas. If anybody knows anything about Texas and high school and football, you know it was a busy week for the couch as I was calling high school football games last weekend. So busy week last week, and I took and actually then turned around. We did, and these shows were on Blog Talk Radio, the calls of the football games. We had really, really technical difficulties in Thursday's first half, and then after that we put it together, and then Friday we had a good calling on Friday. And then Saturday turned around, did 5 hours, on Blog Talk Radio with the combination of Sports Talk with the guys and then the Couch Potato Sports Show. So I took Sunday completely off. So noon from Saturday until today, until now. So I've had a couple days off, didn't even think very much about sports except to watch some. Not having to do a show, not having to be anywhere at a certain time was very good for the couch after noon on Saturday. And, of course, it is the holiday weekend. We're going to be doing this show today. Tomorrow we're going to be featured on Blog Talk Radio with the Couch Potato Sports Show as we do our NFL preview on Tuesday for Wednesday's opening night game of the Dallas Cowboys taking the trip over to the New York Giants. So we will be doing that on Wednesday, a featured show here on Blog Talk Radio. Sonny Clark coming to you, waiting to see if we will get Andreas, Red Sox fan, see if she's going to make it. But until then, we'll talk a little NFL because, of course, that's just what I do best as far as keeping track of what's going on in my sport of choice. And there's a lot of things going on as far as, you know, moves, people, you know, teams cutting players for certain reasons and things. But Maurice Jones-Drew showed up at camp or, you know, up and ready to go. And he says there's no regrets and whether or not he's showing any ill feeling towards Jacksonville themselves, I don't know if it's there. However, I don't know who won in this case as far as Maurice Jones-Drew, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Was it Jacksonville who made a statement to a superstar player that, hey, you are an employee here, okay? Let's not forget who's the boss and who is the employee. You can demand some things, and it's okay to demand some things, but you can't demand it all the time. You cannot put it out there and just say, hey, it's my way or the highway, because the Jacksonville Jaguars said, you know, no, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be our way, or you'll hit the highway without pay. And depending on the situation, it's $1.36 million in fines that was accrued for Maurice Jones-Drew. Now, there's no saying whether or not that testifying will be actually implicated against him. If the Jaguars are smart, they won't. But I'll be honest with you, folks that know the couch, I'm a Jaguar fan. And going into this season with the possibility of not having Maurice Jones-Drew, in the backups, say what you want about the backups, you, folks, you've got to understand that preseason is exactly what it means. It's preseason. This is not the real season. This is not anything to get too worked up over as far as some of the players that you've seen backing up Maurice Jones-Drew, that the Rashad Jennings, who took over his spot while he was peculiarly, you know, absent. It's quite peculiar, but he was absent. Folks, you can't expect a Rashad Jennings, or for all that matter, a DeJuan Harris, to step in after what Maurice Jones-Drew did for this franchise last year. And I didn't, you notice how I didn't say football team. I said franchise. May have been what Maurice Jones-Drew was trying to get across to management, that he's not just a football player, he is the franchise. Whether or not I agree with it, two different things. But you can't argue with 1,606 yards and 8 touchdowns. And fantasy lovers should love a Maurice Jones-Drew. And folks, we did 2 drafts on 2 weekends on the Couch Potato Sports Show, and I stole Maurice Jones-Drew. I stole him in like the 6th round. What were people thinking? You say what you want. He may not be, you know, the top guy right away. He may not be 160-yard, 2-touchdown Maurice Jones-Drew, but he's sure going to come around, you know, at least 75 yards and a touchdown or 2. Believe me, that's going to be enough for me to put him in my fantasy league and start him. And I say that because everybody's slow to start off. Maurice Jones-Drew needs a playbook like he needs a hole in the head. Maurice Jones-Drew needs training camp like he needs a hole in the head. Look at this guy. He is just a muscle. So Maurice Jones-Drew, the last thing he needs or anybody needs to do is worry about him. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, on the other hand, they don't need to worry about that. They need to worry about their schedule. But it starts off really good for them. They get Minnesota. It's a winnable game. Notice how I didn't say they'd win. It's just winnable. Houston's going to beat the hell out of them. But winnable games against Indianapolis, possibly Cincinnati. This team could be 3-1. Possibly 2-2, if you really look at it, 2-2. And then they get Chicago, so they're going to have a problem there. But Oakland, it's a possibility. It's a, you know, depending on what team shows up there. Green Bay, they're going to do it, get their butts handed to them. Then Detroit, it will probably kill them. And then they get Indianapolis yet again. They could start off the season well and see what they could build upon, because the latter part of this schedule for the Jacksonville Jaguars, where they meet Detroit, Houston, Tennessee's winnable, but Buffalo, the Jets, New England, depending on where they're standing, those games could be crucial to the rest of the season. If they manage to steal maybe 2 of those games that really they don't have a chance or should not have a chance on, the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC South, remember, folks, you are dealing with the Houston, which is probably the division title winner this year, but we're still talking playoffs, and we're still talking wild card. If they can pull off a couple of those wins there, they could be looking at a wild card. But the question will be, when this whole thing is all said and done, we'll see what kind of effect that offensive coordinator for this team, Dirk Cotter, did to him. Stepping into this, you know, mess is malarkey, and that, and I mean mess because it's hard to ask the ASU Sun Devils what they've done since Dirk Cotter walked out of that program over there. They've done absolutely nothing. He's destroyed a what folks would say is a football tradition over in ASU, and I believe that, folks. I sat there as season ticket holders for the ASU Sun Devils for many years. After the second year of Dirk Cotter, I was done. I knew what play was coming, and that's the thing. And that's why Atlanta's going to have a tough, tough time this season. And I say that because you can look at all the talent in the world, but if you become one of those predictable offenses, give me a defensive coach against Dirk Cotter any day, and not just twice on Sunday, but a dozen times on Sunday. Jacksonville Jaguars have got a problem, and folks, I'm going to tell you, when I bring on a former Jacksonville Jaguar who was doing his best, and I'm talking about Tom McManus, who was doing his best to try to support the offensive coordinator there, he will come back. When I first started talking to him 3 years ago, when Dirk Cotter took over, my man Tom McManus will agree with the couch. I told Tom McManus, former linebacker of NFL, he is still radio show morning guy over in Jacksonville, told him straight out that the Jacksonville Jaguars would be done until that situation with Dirk Cotter was figured out. Now, I don't know what Jack Del Rio seen in this guy, but whatever he did, he kind of put the franchise kind of like a truck backing up, you know, the beep, beep, beep thing. That's what you get with Dirk Cotter. You're listening to the Early Bird Fantasy Show here on NDB Media. Check out the many fine programs that are set to air on this show Friday. Make sure you take a listen to the Matt Alvarez show, sports opinion show. It's a good show. If you like a little wrestling with a little bit of a curveball, and I say a little bit of curveball, it's not the traditional talk show, sports talk show, but it's fun, and I like it. And also, of course, don't forget Sports Talk with the guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. You catch that on their programming list on Saturday, and then you catch it during the week. There's a couple of days when it's on. I'm not exactly sure where it is. But folks, like I said, tomorrow the Couch Potato Sports Show will be featured talking about the NFL preview, talking about what you're going to see on Wednesday with the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants playing in New York, a rematch of the game that would have sent one of those two teams to the playoffs. One of them win, ran the table, ended up Super Bowl champions. Now, folks, do not get me wrong. If the Dallas Cowboys was able to win that game in Week 17, the Dallas Cowboys would not be Super Bowl champions. I'm not saying that. What I'm talking about is what you are going to see, the momentum of a football team. Will they continue with what they did last year? Now, the Giants have got a lot of problems on their football team as far as injuries and things like that. This is game one, though, and it's a very winnable game for the New York Giants. And mainly because there's just injuries running rampant over in Dallas. Now, folks, you want to read a little bit about Dallas, you want to get maybe a curveball of the normal reporting and things like that, check out my stuff over at examiner.com. I am the Dallas Cowboys Examiner. Check it out, my latest over there. But the Dallas Cowboys got a lot of problems, and one of those problems is definitely the injury problems. It's an injury bug. It's an injury waiting to happen every single time someone goes down the field. But this team is going to start off without a star wide receiver. And I see, notice how I said wide receiver and I didn't say tight end, but folks, he is the number one target, and that's Jason Witten. Folks, not having Jason Witten in this lineup is a huge, huge loss for this football team. No disrespect to his backup at all, and folks who don't follow him probably don't know, is John Phillips is the backup. And I love John Phillips, but he's no Jason Witten. So they already start off in the hole. Welcome in, Intercity Ninja, to the Early Bird Fantasy Show with Andre and Couch. You only got Couch this morning. Not sure if Andre will make it in. We'll keep an eye up on her on the switchboard. But we are talking NFL. We're talking how the Dallas Cowboys are going to get over it. We don't know how the real injury situation is with Miles Davis. Miles Austin at the wide receiver. He's got a hammy problem, and they are taking very, very good care of those hammies. But hamstring problems for the last 2 years for Miles Austin, and there's no telling whether or not it will be taken care of or ready to go in week number one. Dez Bryant, that's a total different subject. We are going to go into week one with Dez Bryant with no action against him, whether it's by the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys. And it's a chapter that has to be closed because guess what? It doesn't mean anything anymore. However, what it does show is that there is a conspiracy within the NFL, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about here today. Is where is Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell's relationship? Is it good for the NFL in general? The NFC East is weak. Now, hey, Inner City Ninja, someone's got to win the division. I said whoever wins the division is the only team that's going to make the playoffs in the NFC East. See, there's a lot of ifs. You're right. Every team will probably finish 8-8, maybe 1-9-7, maybe stretch a 10-6, but that's a stretch. But where is that relationship with Roger Goodell and Jerry Jones? Is it good for the NFL? And that's my huge, huge question. Say what you want about Jerry Jones. And here's what I want to say before I even preface what I'm going to say. I don't see anything wrong with it. But it is unfair. You want to talk about black eyes on NFL. You want to talk about, you know, discipline problems with the NFL. Guess what? If Ben Roethlisberger's supposed or alleged rape was some broad in the men's bathroom constitute a 4-game suspension, 2 of them lifted, so he only reality served 2. Don't you think hitting your mama should at least get 400 games? Like, you should be completely set. Now, hey. And I argued this point with a couple of people on a show that I listen to every once in a while if I feel like I need to get enraged about something. Like if I've been, you know, too happy with what I see in sports, all I got to do is go listen to the Bachelor Pad, and you can hear it here on Blog Talk Radio. These guys have enough nerve to compare some hoe that goes into the men's restroom for a little quickity-quick and then holler rape. Compare that to somebody hitting their mama. What is worse? And obviously they're saying... They're saying some hoe that goes into a bathroom stall is worse than some dude that hauls off and hits his mama. Now, hey, I know why they're doing it, and folks that listen to The Bachelor Pad, and I don't necessarily disagree with what they're doing. I just sometimes think that their opinions are a little out there, but it's kind of that they kind of do a show and kind of find a racist angle on why things happen. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily bad. I just think it's kind of a different angle, and that's the reason why the show is successful. And folks, let's be honest, okay? One of the reasons why they do the show is try to fire people up, and what they do is really good. So I listen to it. So that tells you something. Not necessarily that I like, but sometimes I just want to see what the next angle will be, and they bring that angle very well. But white, black, purple, indifferent, if you hit your mother, you're the lowest scum on the face of this earth. And guess what? The NFL did absolutely nothing about it. The Dallas Cowboys did absolutely nothing about it. And the sad thing about it is that when you look at situations like that, put black eyes on the NFL, you it's hard to compare it, which is worse. There's no question. It's hard to compare what is worse. But man, hitting your mama has got to be up there on the rankings. I don't care if she pursues it, you know, with the justice system or not. Jerry Jones is probably good for the NFL, but he's not good for the Cowboys. He is to the Cowboys what George Steinbrenner is to the Yankees. Very good point. Very good point. He has too much control over the franchise, and he needs to learn to delegate to a GM. Now, everything you said there is right. But, folks, we got to remember who we're dealing with when you're dealing with the Dallas Cowboys, and that's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones owns this team. Now, here is where I support Jerry Jones. And I don't support him a lot. And I don't necessarily buy into or agree with this, but hey, this is his football team. He can run it any way he wants. As Eddie Murphy used to say about his father, he says, hey, I pay the bills up in this MFR, and guess what? If you don't like it, get the hell out. But the problem with that is Jerry Jones says that to the fans of the Dallas Cowboys, and that's a problem. Now, the Dallas Cowboys definitely have had their problems in the past since Jerry Jones has taken over this franchise. But it's his. You know, the audacity of fans, the audacity of sometimes media, the audacity of telling a man who builds a billion-dollar stadium what he should do, it's almost insulting to me. And folks, I'm not a Jerry Jones fan, but who the hell are these people? It's his team. He's the one that picks how it's ran. He's the one. He wants to be the GM. He wants the Dallas Cowboys as his toy. But folks, this is a billion-dollar industry over here in Dallas, sitting right up over in Arlington. He's evidently doing something right. Now, as far as results on the football field, that's really in reality. And I don't want to sound unfan friendly, but really, who cares what the fan thinks when you are running a business? I'll tell you straight out. Yes, you would love to win the Super Bowl, but guess what? If it came to my business and someone or a quote unquote fan of mine was talking, and they, quote-unquote, wanted to help me, I'd be sitting here going, you know, I've built a billion-dollar industry here out of a minimal buy. I forget what he bought the Dallas Cowboys for, but it was something ridiculously cheap compared to what it was. or what it, you know, in the day when he bought it to where it is now. Now, he may not have bought home, you know, Super Bowl ring after Super Bowl ring. I mean, you can say what you want about the Patriots, you know, being such a good football team. But they're not the number one team in the NFL. Sorry, they're not. And you're right. Had the same problems as, you know, Skeletor over in Oakland. But guess what? It's his. And say what you want. And fans want a winner. And fans who have been... He adopted fans of the Dallas Cowboys from the early inception to the 70s to the 80s. And those are rabid fans. And folks, let me tell you something about Dallas football. Before I moved here, I never seen, you know, anything like this. Fans in football are huge fans. And parents of football players, it's scary. It's almost unhealthy. This whole state is unhealthy when it comes to football. And I say this because even the parents are a big fault of the problem, if you want to call football a problem in the state of Texas. Every parent thinks their kid is going to be the next best thing. Mainly because they want their kids to get off the farm and be better than what they were. Hey, I get it. I understand. But football is a different monster in Dallas, Texas, compared to New England. Sorry, it is. Of course, it's a bigger state. Of course, high school football, they had a television show on Friday Night Lights. Okay, it started when I lived in Arizona and before I came over to the Dallas area. I watched the show and I said, well, that's over-exaggerated. Folks, it's almost dead on to what you see on the football fields, to the coaches in that show, and the off-the-field, quote-unquote, romances and things like that. It's not very far from the truth. But Jerry Jones owns the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones has, you know, he's the one invented, you know, the NFL channel. Jerry Jones is not stupid. He may be stupid in certain areas, like running a football team and finding talent, but guess what? He's allowed to do that. It's his. The audacity of someone saying that he should turn that over to someone, I don't necessarily agree with. Okay, you can say it, but criticizing Jerry Jones for something that he owns and has built to where it is, folks, I don't know. It may have gotten to this point. It may not have gotten to this point if the former owners of the Dallas Cowboys held on to it and got it to this point. But guess what? They didn't. Not only that, they didn't have a marketing department whatsoever to even market the Dallas Cowboys, who were America's team at that point, to make them where they are today. Now, as far as football and talent on the field, yes. As far as personalities, what they bring into this football team, whether it's a Michael Irvin, whether it's, you know, other players on this football team that have put black eyes not only on the franchise but the NFL, yeah, he's got a problem there. But guess who's playing the first game in 2012 in prime time? By the way, how many times have the Dallas Cowboys been in prime time? Say what you want about Jerry Jones. He's getting the job done. He's getting his team at least seen. They may not have made the, you know, playoffs or won playoff games, but guess what? The Dallas Cowboys get seen, and they get seen a lot. And this year's no different, because Jerry Jones is in the hip pocket of Roger Goodell. Whether it's a Dez Bryant or whether it's being on primetime more than any team in the NFL. Say what you want about Jerry Jones. The reason why they play in primetime, not necessarily obviously because of what they put on the field, it's what the Dallas Cowboys represent. And that's quote-unquote America's team. They represent the most popular face in the NFL. And you can argue with it all day long. The Patriots, great football team, don't get me wrong, but... They're not America's teams. Okay. The Pittsburgh Steelers, yeah, they got more Super Bowls, one more Super Bowl than the Cowboys, but guess what? They're not America's team. And yes, I know they bought that phrase and had that as far as the NFL. Don't get me wrong, I get it and I understand it. Steeler Nation, that's their thing. That's it. Steelers, I would probably rank them. If you rank the popularity in the top five franchises in the NFL, Dallas Cowboys are number one as far as popularity. The Pittsburgh Steelers are number two, without question. And the third one is got to be the New England Patriots. And some folks might want to maybe switch the Steelers and Patriots. I don't know. I think there are more Steeler fans out there. I really honestly do think there are more Steeler fans out there. And then number four is the Green Bay Packers. Then you can start talking about popularity of number five. And those teams can host from the San Francisco 49ers to the Oakland Raiders to the Miami Dolphins. You know, but that's the way it is. Cowboys used to be fun with Aikman and Irving. They play boring football now. Yeah. To a point, yeah. Absolutely. I won't argue that point. Boring might be, I don't know if boring's the right word, but I can see it mediocre. I can definitely, and that comes from coaching. Outside of Jimmy Johnson, really what has this franchise done except with Bill Parcells? The rest of the deadheads that have been in as the head coach of this football team, whether it's Barry Switzer, whether it's Jason Garrett or Wade Phillips or any of these other guys that have been in there since Jimmy Johnson has walked away from this. You know, there have been deadheads. They've been yes men, and that's one of the reasons why. Hey, guess what? Hey, Jason Garrett, okay, in the last three seasons have made $9 million by being the yes man to Jerry Jones. Okay? That's pretty good living. That's why Bill Parcells needs money like he needs a hole in the head. That's the reason why he didn't coach his football team anymore. As soon as Terrell Owens, he told, I don't want this guy on this football team, that was the end of the relationship, because Jerry Jones was putting his nose in the middle of something. And you are one thing you are right about as far as Jerry Jones is, and I believe it. Jerry Jones is a very jealous man, because all the credit to this team beginning to get where they were when Bill Parcells took all of it, that went straight to Bill Parcells, and none of it went to Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones got jealous, and guess what? He got his nose into the business. He tried it. He's an addict, folks. He's an addict. Jerry Jones is an addict when it comes to the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys. He just can't do it. He needs another hit, whether it's a Terrell Owens. He needs another hit. Whether he's getting his nose, he comes down on the football field and calls plays. He's an addict. He can't help it. He doesn't have control over it. He needs professional help. But guess what? He's a billionaire. Most billionaires are eccentric kind of guys who thinks the world revolves around them. And I'm not saying he's right or wrong, but I'm saying it's his football team. Well, down the street, how about just one parking lot over? It's literally across the street. The Texas Rangers, you want to talk a little Texas Rangers, we can do so. And I see what you put in there. And we're talking about the Texas Rangers, Profar, youngest player in Major League Baseball history. He's 19 years old. They hit a home run at his first at bat. He's in the lineup because what? Couch has said has been a problem for the Texas Rangers. Now, they've figured out how to get around it, but key injuries to key players. Ian Kinsler was out with a back problem, so they go ahead and put in young Profar. Now, Profar actually just came up from AAA Frisco. Now, that's down the street, about maybe about 10, 15 miles for AAA Frisco and the Rough Riders. And he was burning it up out there. I guess he hit .281, 14 home runs, 16 RBIs at AA Frisco. So he was lighting it up in AA, so he hits his first home run. But when you take a look at this baseball team, you know, I don't know if whether or not... I'm going to say this, and it really sounds bad. But what else did he do that game? He did turn a double play. So, and I don't know the answer to my own question, but one thing that I take a look at when I think about the game, and I think about it, there's no question. I guess, you know, these accolades that sometimes players end up getting because they do a certain thing or are the first to do something, sometimes, and I'm just going to say sometimes, that gets over-touted. And what I mean by that is that when you take a look at this guy, okay, he went 2-for-4, wonderful performance in his first game, okay? But I'm going to go back to what a movie that everybody in the sporting world, if they haven't seen it, who love hockey and golf, you got to see Happy Gilmore. And there was a line there where a media person asked Shooter McGavin, he asked him, "Hey, what do you think about that ace Happy Gilmore had on the eighth hole?" He said, "Yeah, he finished last. Yeah, good for him." If nothing else, he got the accolade for one night. But really, you know, the Texas Rangers, you say what you want about them, and I'm their worst critic. I'm really first I wanted to see him one time. Okay, they did it one time. Now I want to see them do it the second time. Yeah, that's still not good enough. Now, you know, whether or not they're one pitch away, can they get over the hump? So I am the Texas Rangers' worst critic in the world. Yeah, 2-for-4 home run. Double, yes, no question. Had a great, he's part of a double play. He was part of a double play defensively. So, yes. Good outing, without question. But just like the Rangers, I want to see what this guy does, you know, throughout the rest of it. But I think when I think about what the Rangers have been able to do, and I don't give them enough credit, and I'm going to give them credit today. So, you know, we need to mark this down that Sonny Clark is actually going to give credit where credit is actually due. The Texas Rangers are a pretty good baseball team, folks. Man, that hurt. They're a pretty good baseball team. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's not because they're, you know, sitting in their spot right now, okay, in the standings. You know, they're sitting right there in the lead in their own division. I'm not going to say it. It's just that they're 79-54 right now, and the last 10 they've won 7-3. You can't deny what this team. What I am dumbfounded about the Texas Rangers is the fact they have been able to continue it. I'm dumbfounded at the talent that, not that they have. So I want to make sure I get this right. It's not about the talent that they have. It's about how Wash, the manager of this baseball team, figures out what he needs to do in order to win with the talent that he has. And folks, that is so huge when you think about it. it's not necessarily that every time he makes a decision that it's, you know, they're putting in one guy that they love. Okay, he just manages to be able to find the best that he can get. And you say whatever you want about that, guess what? It becomes successful. And without question, and I'll even say this, he's the American League Manager of the Year. And there's not anybody anywhere close, except maybe the Oakland A's manager. However, they've got some great young pitching folks. I'm telling you right now, the Oakland A's are just an amazing baseball team, and I love it. And now I guess we'll get into a little baseball talk since we don't have it here, and I actually prepped a little bit for some baseball for Andrea because she always throws me curveballs in baseball. They won their eighth game in a row yesterday, by the way. 9-1 in the last 10 with young pitching. And if the Rangers don't watch out, and I'm saying if, they're only three games back in this division. If the Rangers do go into a, remember, it's September. Remember what happened to the Boston Red Sox. And I say that, and that was last year before Bobby Valentine got there. And boy, we can talk about the, ooh, and we will. We'll talk about the Red Sox here. Even if we need to go a little bit later, we'll talk about the Red Sox. But, man, the Oakland A's, you know, have been a great story. And, folks, I'm going to give my boy some credit. And I'm talking about my boy, my co-host on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Cuervo saw this last year. And he just predicted it a little bit quick. He said, the Oakland A's are going to win this division. He said that last year. And he said, if for some reason they don't win the division, they're going to get into a wild card situation. They're going to make the playoffs. And folks, I laughed it off. I was like, it just like anybody who listened to the show that day, the Oakland A's had nothing going for them, but what they've done is put together some really, really good pitching. And going into September, this is the time whether or not we're going to see if the Oakland A's are really real. And I'm not saying that they're not. But we're going to see if they are really real. September is so huge for teams like this. September is not huge for the Chicago White Sox, the Detroit Tigers, okay, the Texas Rangers, you know, the Yankees. September is about the Baltimore Orioles. September is about the Tampa Bay Rays, who have proven it, but always seem to have to reprove it. September is about the Washington Nationals holding on to a 6.5 game win lead in the National League East. September is about whether or not Cincinnati can stay up on top and not have a complete total collapse in the Central. We're talking about teams that have not been there or should not be there. Right now, Pittsburgh is still only 1.5 games outside the wild card right now in the National League. The Pittsburgh Pirates, we'll find out if they're real here in this month of September. If you have no control, pitching in Arlington is not for you. And you can ask one guy who got released and cleared waivers, and that'd be the name slipped in my mind, the guy that they picked up that was supposed to be the hottest thing to come along since sliced bread over there. His name is slipping my head here. But they grabbed him up for some pitching help and they didn't get it. Matter of fact, if anything, he fell off. Jeez, he used to be a Phillies pitcher and his name's just slipping my mind right now. I'll think of it in about a minute. You know, I'm radioactive. I'll finish it later. I'll finish my thought on that in about 3 minutes when the name comes to my head. But Say what you want about the Texas Rangers, and I do. I've got to eat some crow when it comes to the Texas Rangers. They've done very well. Roy Oswalt. There it goes. Finally hits my head. I don't know. Did you put that in the chat room? No. Okay. I got it before then. My brain figured it out. It was Roy Oswalt. And that's one thing that they figured out. They realized this guy isn't set for this team. They let him go. Of course, he kind of made it that way. But you see what I'm saying. Wash has put this thing together down here in Texas. You got to love it. So, let's see here. What's going on? The Orioles. Let's talk a little bit about the Orioles. I don't have a lot, but the Baltimore Orioles take that series. And I will say for the O's, I'm happy for them. And we talked about this on Friday. They went on Friday before I had to get out and get busy with some work. This was a vital series for this team, and they won. They didn't sweep them. They got 2-3. But how about those Baltimore Orioles? They're getting the pitching. They're getting what they need, and they're getting the hitting. They went to the Bronx and was not intimidated. I'm not saying they should be. Okay. But when you're the Baltimore Orioles and you're going into a vital series heading into the last month of the season, if you are for real, this is a team that you've got to at least show up against, and they did. Love the Baltimore Orioles. I would love to be able to see and be able to say that the Baltimore Orioles will make the playoffs. And I wish I could sit here and say I would be confident that they're going to do that. But let's get real. And what I mean by get real is not that it's any disrespect to Baltimore. They're two games back in their division. If it ended now, they'd be in the playoffs. But September, this is the pressure point. This is the boiler time to get it done. And if you're going to do it, this would be the time that you're going to do it. I like what the Orioles did. September is about the world tearing the Nats up for being run down by clowns, no question. The pitcher should be shut down unless they're actually injured. The Nats owe it to the team and the strength. Okay, now, you're right. Let's talk a little bit about the Washington Nationals, and I agree with you. But I love the disclaimer. Okay, that they threw out here. And what I'm talking about as far as Strasburg, okay? Steven Strasburg's final start will be September 12th. We have finally reached the shutdown point for the Washington Nationals' ace, Steven Strasburg, and this is according to William Ladson. He is the beat writer for this team. He'll make his last start on Wednesday, September 12th. It'll be against the Dodgers. And so here's the situation with that whole thing. When they make this kind of announcement, they're going to shut him down for the season. Does that mean regular season or postseason? And I have not found out whether or not that will go into. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of, and maybe I missed it. And whoever is listening that might have that idea, inner city, find out. I mean, because I haven't seen it. They said that he's being shut down for the season. Is that regular season, postseason, or both? But I'll go on and I will agree with the ninjas. Okay? If you want to shut him down for the rest of the season and keep kind of working him a little bit, keep him warm, keep him fresh and everything until you get to the playoffs, absolutely. Do it. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But to take a young man out that has been a part of what you are seeing this year and a major part of what they have done this season, not just by a little, but I'm talking about a lot. You don't go into the playoffs and go into the World Series without your ace. in the hole. You just don't do it. And you're right, Ninja. They owe it to the fans. They owe it to the team. And most of all, they owe it to their own franchise. Now, granted, I understand what they're talking about. Believe me, I do. Because I remember exactly where I was when I heard the news that Strasburg threw out his arm. I was driving in a back city. And I say back city. And there's probably different words for it in different areas. I call them back cities from where I am. And that's in Arizona, where I was at the time. When I heard about Strasburg throwing his arm out, I was in a back city. I mean, you have Phoenix, you have Mesa. They're kind of Phoenix, obviously, being the metropolis. Mesa being East Mesa, the, you know, kind of metropolis, but, you know, maybe about two or three steps down. Then you got Clinton Creek, that's like seven or eight down. Then you have the back cities, okay? And the back cities, I'm talking, I don't even remember the name of the city, but I remember I was sitting at an intersection going, that is the dumbest thing I ever heard, because guess what? Not more than three. I heard this, we were on air, and I said this was the dumbest thing that they could do in a meaningless game at that time, throw Strasburg out there. Oh, he would eventually need it anyway. Well, guess what? Eventually, yes. You know, people will eventually have a heart attack too, okay? So don't get me on this eventually crap. It was dumb. And it was the wrong thing to do. If you shut him down for the last 3 weeks of the regular season, under no circumstances can you let him pitch in the postseason. His muscles will get too tight and just sitting around doing nothing. Well, and I think that's the point. If they shut him down where he's not maybe in game situations where he's going to be out there, which what happened? This is what happened. This young kid's a competitor. And when this happened, I said it. There was no reason, for him to be out on the mound at that day when that happened, okay? None. There was nothing for this, and he's the young phenom, and they could have kept him warm. They can keep him warm. Okay, you're talking about 3 weeks. You're talking about maybe three starts. Okay, keep him warm. Keep him practicing. Keep him throwing off the mound. Keep him doing what he does. Keep him in a regular where he's not over-pitching, but enough to keep him up and ready to go. Give me Steven Strasburg. Okay, continue at least practicing throwing the ball, not overthrowing, but keeping himself in shape. Give me him for the starting series in your first game of the postseason. I'm telling you right now, I'd do it in a heartbeat. And if that is the quote-unquote rule, you know, if you're going to shut down your pitcher the last 3 weeks, you don't want him in the playoffs, I think this might be a different situation, but you got to continually practice him. You got to keep him in shape. But I agree with you, Ninja. Here's what they owe it to the franchise, because he is the franchise. And I normally am like the scorekeeper. I don't say that this guy deserves it. I think he does. His muscles may get too tight just sitting around doing nothing. I'm not proposing that he does nothing. I am proposing that they get him out there and throw the ball, you know, 20 or 30 times, maybe 40 or 50 off the mound each day, not at 100%, but maybe at 90%, and not throw his arm out and have him ready for the postseason. Okay, Ninja says, I don't know what they are talking about. When did the pitcher get hurt? When did they go to a four-man rotation, five-man rotations? Pitchers throwing a lot less. There's no question pitchers are throwing a lot less, Ninja. There's no question. We've talked about it on this show. We've talked about it on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And we've talked about it on Sports Talk with the guys. They are not throwing these guys enough. And that's the reason why they get hurt. That's why you keep Steven Strasburg under wraps, but throwing the ball, continually going through the motion, but not, you know, not getting him into a competitive mode where he has to feel like he has to be dominant. And that's how he got hurt in the first place. You keep him warm, keep him ready, and say, how do you go to a kid that has done what he did this year and say, listen, it's been real, it's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun. You're not going to be going into the playoffs. He's one of the main reasons they got there, without question. And they've got a starting rotation that's unbelievable, but when it's unbelievable when Strasburg's in there. Okay, take away from that. Okay, they've got really good pitching without Strasburg, but you need great pitching going into the playoffs and going into the World Series. It's just been proven way too many times. You've got to have them there. Strasburg's final set, just the dumbest thing. You know, how about the Tiger sweeping the Red Sox? Who doesn't? Yeah, I guess that's probably Chipper Jones with the walk-off 3-run homer. Good stuff for the Braves. Like to see that. Rays get the Yankees at home. It's going to be a vital, vital series. I'm looking forward to that one. That should be really interesting. I don't think the Rays have got enough to get back into this thing. They might be able to make the wild card, but they're not going to win this division. I know there's only a 3-game difference. You know, right now the Yankees are 76-57, okay, and the Tampa Bay Rays are 73-61. So, yes, I don't know. It's the Yankees, and until the Yankees don't actually do it, I'm saying the Yankees are going to do it. If I had a point, I'd only give the NL Cy Young to Strasburg, without question. If I had a vote, there's no question who I'd give it to. None. Zero. And there's been some good pitching in the National League, folks. Let's not kid anybody. But Strasburg has been far and above all of them. And just shut him down. That's just dumb. Makes no sense to me. Giants won 6 of the last 7. Are Giants for real over there in the National League West? Right now they're 4.5 up in their own division. The Dodgers are only half game back in the wild card race. After the big, you know, yeah, you still got to build some chemistry with them. Josh Beckett actually had a good outing the other day. Josh Beckett. Phillies bullpen, you know, stops Cole Hamels from getting this 15 game. I mean, you want to talk about a blow up in the ninth, you know, it's crazy. And Jimmy Rollins ought to be ashamed of himself. Now, I guess he did come out. I mean, the worst hustle, besides B.J. Upton, okay, that had to be the worst hustle that I've seen from Jimmy Rollins. I don't expect to see it from him. And he should be embarrassed and he should apologize. And he did. And I hope he means it. Strong 7 innings from Cliff Lee. Red Sox news just really quick. The Achilles is acting up on Ortiz, so we may have seen the last of him this year. I don't know if that's good nor bad or indifferent. But the Red Sox, they've got their own problems because guess what? The owners and general managers, you know, they hopped the plane after that 20-2 debacle. And I mean debacle. They get up on a plane. John Henry and Ben Cherington are in Seattle. You gotta, when you think about that, you gotta ask yourself why, right? I mean, why are these guys flying cross country? It's obviously a talk to Bobby Valentine. There may be some kind of news heading that way. If there's news, I haven't checked it as of maybe 5 minutes before going on air. But boy, oh boy. John Henry flew to Seattle, where the Red Sox are faced, to go against the Mariners. Unbelievable. After getting beat that much has been crazy. So Beckett, you know, bad-mouthing this team and everything else, you know. Yeah, my question is, how long is this guy going to live off the stats from 2007? You know, 5-11, 5.23 ERA, shoulder problems, and then he goes and goes out and plays golf. You know, says people wanted to see him fail. You know, sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut. You would think. But he doesn't. So, anyway, well, folks, that is going to do it for the Early Bird Fantasy Show. Make sure you join
more programs here on NDP Media Sports Channel, as well as NDP itself, the Couch Potato Sports Show over on CouchPotatoSportsShow.com. We're out of here. Everybody have a great day. Bye-bye. I am Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. And maybe we'll get Andre on Friday. We'll find out. Everybody have a good day. Bye-bye.